welcome to another edition of the Fastest 40 Minutes in Podcasting. I am Bill. With me again is Ross. We never quite catch Seth at the right time. He's going to think we're intentionally avoiding him at this point.
And maybe we are.
Yeah, it's always possible. And thanks to Ross for coming on, even though this is, you know, he's moved up in the world and this is much lower tech than where he was sitting on, what was it, Tuesday?
Kimmy English has never sat in the seat I'm sitting in here tonight.
As far as you know.
If he has, I won't even be mad.
Yeah, I finally took the plunge, by the way. I am now Facebook friends with Kimmy English and Zaire Taylor. I couldn't bring myself to do more than that just because they'd accept the request because they have 14,000 friends each or whatever. But I stuck with those two.
That's good. At least you're a Facebook stalker of principle, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, and it's already paid off with some of Kimmy's Facebook status updates. So it's been a good time.
Not to mention, they will be able to keep up with all of your top five updates.
That's right. I should start just pimping every single Rock M post on my Facebook page. I already have worn people out with top five list after top five list. I might as well pimp Rock M at the same time. And then we can get Kimmy English on the Fastest 40 Minutes in Podcasting.
Very nice. I love it.
That's how it works. Networking. All right. Well, the main thing on the docket for today is Saturday's Black and Gold game, of course. As always, are expecting craptastic weather for Saturday. It seems to about two out of every 3 years, the weather is just gross and rainy. I guess it's mid-April in mid-Missouri, so that's not totally surprising. But what are we looking at now? 65 degrees and possible rain, I guess. That's good times. We thought we'd help you out. First of all, we're going to try to give you our opinions on what we're going to be watching at the Black and Gold game. And then we thought we'd just try to give you an idea of, you know, it seems like we have a few younger readers on the old Rock M, and we thought we might try to help you out as to how to enjoy yourself the most at the Black and Gold game. So you've got that to look forward to. I know everybody's just the Twitter thinking about that. So Ross, tell me what you are going to be watching yourself on Saturday. What interests you the most?
I don't know if I can pick one thing out. I know a lot of eyes are going to be on Gabbert, and that's all well and good. But considering how easily that job seems to have been won, that's not of high concern for me. I'm a little, not even a little, I'm very disappointed at the way injuries have taken toll on this receiving corps, because I would love to see how deep it is and how talented it could potentially be. I don't know if my boy John McGaffey will be playing.
No, nope, pretty sure no.
Yeah, I'm just praying that that's not final, but I'm prepared for the worst. I want to see Jarrell Jackson get 10 touches. I don't care how he gets the ball. I don't care if he's throwing the ball on a reverse pass. I really don't care. Get him the ball 10 times. I want to see this kid with the ball in his hand.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I mean, it sounds like Jackson and Wes Kemp will be your main receivers. I do think I read that Rolandis Woodland is going to play, but probably not John McGaffey. It sounds like he's basically all but certain to be out. I think for me, it's well. Number one, I do, you know, the Trib article on Sean Weatherspoon from a couple days ago just reminded me how much fun it is to watch Sean Weatherspoon play. And one thing I'm going to try to do is just, you know, of all the people we lost last year, I mean, this is, we can be as optimistic as we want, but there's just so much new blood at every position, and I just want to revel in every opportunity I have to watch Sean Weatherspoon play. And so I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be watching, I think, a lot of the secondary. I just wasn't tremendously impressed with Kevin Rutland last year. He didn't get many opportunities to impress me, obviously. But I think I'll be watching him, watching Trey Hobson, and, well, on down the line, really, Robert Steeples, Munir Prince, etc. We here at Rock M Nation clearly have a lot of faith in Carl Geddes. But he's only one cornerback, and half the time it sounds like, you know, if we're in a nickel, he's not going to even be cornerback.
Yeah.
So the cornerbacks are going to be very interesting to me. And, of course, you know, we've just been reading report after report about Alden Smith at this point.
That's one of the things that makes me angry. Not angry, but I wish I could see, and it won't happen because the ones don't face the ones. I would love to see how Dan Hoke and Elvis Fisher would stand up to that three-headed defensive end core. That's something I really wish we could see, but because of the format of the game, we're just going to have to take our best guess.
Yeah, usually it seems like previously they've ended up going one versus one for like a two-minute drill or something, so we'll just have to be making sure to pay attention at the end of the first half. I will say, yeah, Jarrell Jackson is going to be an interesting guy to watch. The book I'm reading right now, it's called Brilliant Orange, The Neurotic Genius of Dutch Soccer. It was written in the very early part of this decade, and it just talked about how unique the Dutch national team, just the brand of soccer they play, how unique it is, and how basically defenders can be forwards and forwards can be defenders, and anybody can attack, anybody can go back. And we use Jeremy Maclin a lot like that. He was a running back, he was a slot receiver, he was a split, he was, you know, lined up wide. And it sounds like if we have one of those in our receiving core right now, it is Jackson. I mean, West Kemp's not going to be lining up in the back. Well, I guess I shouldn't say, I shouldn't be certain on that, because we did line up Martin Rucker in an empty backfield. But most likely, that experiment didn't seem to last very long. Most likely, it's going to be Jarrell Jackson, maybe John McGaffey when he gets healthy again, Jared Perry, guys like that. Jackson's the guy who I'm most curious about in those situations. So, yeah, those are some things I'll be watching. I think, but in general, it does take some guidelines to enjoy yourself at the Black and Gold game. Like every single year, my buddy Jeffrey, he would come down, and every single year he'd go, he'd end up a little too optimistic about certain players who played well, a little too pessimistic about certain players who didn't play well. And I had to remind him that, Jeffrey, this is a scrimmage, and there's just not a lot to watch. Don't internalize anything, really. It was just kind of fun. And so I thought one thing we could do on this podcast is outline the steps to enjoying yourself at the Black and Gold game, both during those 2 hours and then for the rest of the summer, since this is the last time we'll see this team play until September 5th, I think, when Missouri and Illinois kick off at 2:40 p.m. on ESPN or ESPN2? ESPN, I think.
Sounds right.
Sure.
You can confirm the time. That much I do know.
Yeah. So this does kind of put a kink in the plans, as opposed to, you know, last year's situation where we got to tailgate for 8 hours beforehand and I got to sleep about an hour and a half in the car before going into the game.
Those are some epic times, though.
All right. So here's tip number one, and it's the very most important thing to enjoying yourself at the Black and Gold game. Tip number one is, don't expect much entertainment.
Don't expect much at all. You can be entertained if you're like us, and we're just giddy at the thought of seeing fourth stringers and 2.5 hours into the game. But if you are a just a regular passerby fan, it may not be quite the entertainment you're looking for.
Yeah, a friend of mine and Seth's came out for his first Black and Gold game last year, and I mean, last year was as good as it's going to get. You know, 20-something thousand fans, all stars all over the place with Daniel and Macklin and everybody. And about, I don't know, 15 minutes in, he's like, this is it, isn't it? this is all that's going to happen, isn't it? And so, yeah, number one is don't expect much entertainment. And number two is, instead of just watching the game like it's a game, saying, you know, the defense did great, the offense did terrible, pick out specific players or specific units to watch. Because, I mean, you kind of know, you at this point, just from reading practice reports, hopefully reading Rock M has helped you out, you know, you have a decent idea of positions that are steady, positions that are most likely pretty good or pretty bad. Pick out the players that you're not sure about and watch them, like the defensive ends or the defensive backs or Jarrell Jackson, something like that.
You're looking for individual performance. You want to see people that and players that can make an impact in the future. You want to look and see how they're performing, how they're stacking up, especially because the way they do it, the units are staggered between first and second, right, third and fourth teams.
Right. I mean, stretching that idea further, really, you kind of want to see the number one offense dominating the number two defense and the number one defense dominating the number two offense. You want to see the number one O score on every single possession. You want to see the number two O never score. And then, you know, number three and four doesn't matter at all. But, you want to see the starters, the guys who are going to be lining up against Illinois. You want to see them doing really well. Of course, we want depth and competition, but bottom line is, you know, before we can worry about Blaine Dalton or, Brandon Giroux or Forrest Shock, we have to worry about Blaine Gabbert and Wes Kemp and Jarrell Jackson. So, yeah, that's a good step, is just pay attention to certain players. Pick them out and watch them.
Not only that, know the young guys and appreciate the youth, because this is really the first shot you're going to get at a lot of these guys. I mean, we didn't get to see Kip Edwards at all last year. Anybody of that nature? How much did we get to see any Robert Steeples last year?
No, I don't know if we had any early reporters last year.
None are springing to mind, but really take the chance. These are guys, if you are a Missouri football fan and you follow it closely, these are names you're familiar with. We've heard so much. Doesn't it seem like we've heard so much about them, but we're just now getting our first-hand look?
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny. I mean, we make these impressions based on, you know, one sentence in a practice report by Gabe DeArmond or Dave Matter or Mike DeArmond. Really, we don't know anything about these guys. And, I mean, honestly, we probably won't know anything about them after Saturday, too. We get to watch them on the field. You can see guys who just look amazingly athletic. You can see guys, you can just make impressions of guys that are based on, you know, your own eyes instead of a sentence on an online practice report. So, all right, number three, and this is very important. Lots of people are hanging out on the sidelines. When the game gets boring, when the third stringers are in, we'll look at the sidelines, look for people you recognize. It's a good way to kill time. And you'll always see, you know, Martin Rucker or what was the former Missouri player who ended up becoming a professional wrestler? Brad Smith. It was the first Brad Smith in a Missouri uniform.
Not to mention last year featured Greg Bracey just walking around the stands showing his Cotton Bowl ring off to anybody who would look.
Ironically, because he didn't make that trip. It's a nice time to connect. There aren't 60,000 people there. There probably won't be 20,000 people there. Everybody will be on one side of the stands. You'll just be a lot closer to a lot of these people that you've seen on TV or from afar. You're going to actually feel like you're interacting a little bit more with the Missouri football program. And so it's just kind of fun. It kills time when the walk-ons are playing the walk-ons and you have no idea who's on the field. Number four, do not try to understand the scoring system. You won't. I've been doing these reports on like the old spring practices and everything. I put up a thing about the 1997 spring today. Back then, the celebrity appearance from, and my wife is actually getting mad at me, by the way, because we have two cats. One of them is my fat orange cat. That is not the one who yells. She wants her cat to get the credit for being on these podcasts. So, not that my wife actually is hearing any of this, but just for the record, I gave all the credit in the world to her angry, pissy, antisocial cat.
Can we give credit to your cat for being able to rip into a bag of food?
That's right. He has one skill. He's really, really good at it. And he's asleep in his bed right now. Anyway, scoring system. Back in the 90s with Larry Smith, this was, you know, basically, I think, there was something like a player draft or something like the number two defense and the number one offense were on one team. They went against the other team, and they played a real game with real touchdowns and everything. Not the case here. You will not understand the scoring system. Just watch individual players and units. Make your own judgment who did well and who didn't, because you're just not going to get the scoring system.
Especially if you don't have a mathematics degree.
Correct. All right, so number five, take advantage of the opportunity. We're telling you, you're not going to be entertained. The game, you're not going to understand the score. You might not even know the players on the field unless you manage to get one of those little one-page programs. But it's still worth doing this for one simple reason. You get to go out and be a Missouri fan for 2 hours. If you tailgate beforehand, then, you know, 3 or 4 hours. It's going to rain probably, as it always does, and so it'll be kind of hard to tailgate beforehand. But just, you know, you get to sit in Faurot Field. You get to watch the coaches coach and the players play, and they're going to be wearing the black jerseys and the gold jerseys. And you just get to be part of the Missouri program for a couple hours. And that in the middle of April, 5 months before the season begins, that is very, very much worth it.
Yeah, even fans need a preseason.
Exactly. Now, a couple bonus ones. Those are the major five, but a couple bonus ones. See if you can work your way on the sidelines and let Dave Yost let you call plays. That's something you can really, really try to attain or try to get to. And, of course, the other one is see how close you can get to Dave Steckel before he turns his steely eyes on you, in which case your afternoon will be done.
At which point, we must say that Rocket Nation will not be held liable for anything that happens.
Correct. We're just daring you. We're not legally liable for any of this. So, in general, it's nice to attend. I haven't made every single one of these since I came to Columbia, but it's fun to do. It's fun to say you did. Just don't expect an earth-shattering thing. Don't expect to come away from the occasion thinking this team's going to be great or this team's going to be terrible. You're wrong either way. You have no idea. But enjoy being part of the Missouri program, and you'll have a good time.
Yep, excitement. Go to the spring game.
That was probably not the best overall motivational speech for attending, especially if it's going to be 60 and rain. But you should. So just let us peer pressure you into it that way. You won't enjoy yourself, but you have to do it.
Exactly.
All right. Moving on to, again, we're without Seth. And so, you know, he gives the best all sports reports. He gives the world famous all sports reports. But we can walk through a couple sports here. Number one, gymnastics. Mizzou gymnastics season officially ended today. The team season ended a couple weeks ago. But Mizzou had two gymnasts make the national meet individually, Adrian Perry and Sarah Shire. They are both All-Americans now. Sarah Shire is a junior. She was a first-team All-American on vault. So go her. I'd give you scores, but you probably everything's in the high nines, and it doesn't really matter. She did well.
It's like the spring game. The numbers, nobody really knows what's going
correct.
On.
Correct. It's 9 point something. Everything's going to seem high. You won't know to be disappointed in a 9.825, but she got fourth place in the session. She got a 9.9 on the vault, and she will compete on Saturday in the individual event final. Yes, I'm reading this straight from Muttigers.com. She'll compete on Saturday in the individual event finals. So she still has a chance of being a national champion after finishing fourth today. So that's pretty cool. senior Adrian Perry also competed and is also an All-American. She's been in nationals before, but she got a 9.85 on the floor. She finished 11 on the vault and 9th on the beam and 19th on the bars. So basically what that means is she did really well.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome.
I'm assuming so.
I mean,
top 16 from the sessions are All-Americans, right?
I believe so. Yeah. So I mean,
if
this
you
was,
were an All-American, that is a success in my book.
Correct. It wasn't that there were 16. She finished 11th out of like 20 people. There are a lot of people that go to this thing. I wish I had more knowledge in this area. I'm flailing miserably, but the point is, Mizzou has to add to an already successful overall athletic year. They have two more All-Americans to add to the mix, junior Sarah Shire and senior Adrian Perry. We celebrate them both, and we're now going to move on to sports we know a little better.
And actually, we have a perfect segue here, because Sarah Shire is Missouri's first All-American since Julie Dorn. When I say Dorn, what pops to mind?
Oh, Roger Dorn.
So Rachel Phelps watch is now in effect.
I do believe so. When you said when I was going for a major league quote involving Roger Dorn, but every single one of them had an F bomb in it, so I can't really say it. So we're just going to move on to the Rachel Phelps watch. You guys stink, says Rachel Phelps, standing next to Lou Brown at the bottom of every single Mizzou links post after a Mizzou baseball game,
which is pretty frequently.
Oh yeah. So where we stand now, Missouri just swept Indiana State in two games, 8-1 and 12-2. That's good. Indiana State's not a terrible team. They're a Missouri Valley team with a solid record. I'm not going to pretend like it's an amazing accomplishment, but they swept, and those midweek games can be tricky. But of all the things we've done wrong in baseball this year, Tim Jamison has found the ultimate midweek weapon in Mr. Johnny Holstaff. The nine-pitcher starting pitcher who goes a complete game every midweek and sometimes on the weekend as well, and has done very good things to us. It's been a nice managing job by Jamison in that account, in that we only have one sure thing pitcher in Kyle Gibson. Nick Tepish sometimes looks great and sometimes gets blown out of the water,
We don't even want to talk about what happened in Waco.
Yeah, but we have about, I don't know, 17 pitchers who can give us a good inning. And so Jameson basically trots a different guy out there every inning. He lets Tepish and Ian Berger and sometimes Kyle Gibson go out there as kind of their midweek throwing session. And it's been pretty good results. Under 4 ERA for Mr. Johnny Holstaff, I believe. And it's worked out pretty well. Two good wins this week, but now everything gets really tricky because, you know, we're looking at the schedule and thinking everything's started to kind of loosen up now. We get three games against K-State. We get a midweek game against Kansas. Those are usually not exactly baseball powers. Well, guess what? They're both ranked. they both have their best team in a long time. And now, you know, we get four games away from home, three in Manhattan, and then on the 22nd, which is what, Tuesday, I think?
Wednesday.
Kauffman Stadium in St. Louis, 6:30 p.m., Missouri, Kansas. A fun little midweek game before three games against, honestly, a school that should just drop all diamond sports, Texas Tech, next weekend. But this is four games where we're looking at the schedule and thinking that Mizzou needs to win about 15 of 22 the rest of the way to really kind of get to 5, 6, 7 games above 500 and really have a chance to, you know, they have a decent RPI. They should get in if they can get those 15 wins. You know, if we don't at least go 2-2 against the Kansas schools over the next week, then 15-7, if we go 1-3, then 15-7 becomes, you know, 14-4. And that becomes a lot more challenging, even with some more midweek games, even with three games against who is it, Cal State Bakersfield at the end of the year. So it's very important that Kyle Gibson shows up, that good Nick Tepish shows up. Oh, can we make do we have a nice picture of Tepish to be the new good, bad Nick? You know, we need those guys to show up. And I mean, most importantly, we got to swing the bats. And that's been, you look down the run totals that Missouri has scored in Big 12 play so far. 2-0, 3-5, 5-1, 2-0. I mean, I don't believe they've scored over 5 runs in a Big 12 game, except the other day in Baylor when they lost 8-7 in extra innings. So, yeah. I mean, the bats need to be connecting. You know, we need to hear a lot of those ping sounds in the top halves of innings this weekend, especially since Kansas State has a hell of a pitching staff.
And more than anything, you just love to see, just at some point on a weekend game this year in Big 12 play, you'd love to see all three phases of the game finally be put together. It seems at most you've had two of the three phases. Missouri, have they played a complete game yet on a weekend game that's counted?
No, I sure don't think so. I mean, you know, they torched Ball State earlier in the year, but that doesn't really mean much. No, I mean, they just really, you know, they lost 1-0, or no, they beat Oklahoma State 1-0. They lost, you know, they scored 1-2-1 runs against Oklahoma State, still managed to win one of those games. Then they go to Waco. They actually score, you know, 7 runs in one game, 5 in another, which isn't bad for them. And they still lose 2 out of 3 because their pitching staff imploded to the point of on Saturday getting outscored 27-7 over 20 innings. And yeah, it's just, they have not put things together. Seasons like this do happen sometimes. You know, and we want to stay optimistic and say that it's not too late. Clearly, Lou Brown says it's not too late, and they can go 15-7 over the course of the next whatever that would be, about 5 weeks or so. But this is a huge 4 games over the next 7 days, and they really need to go at least 2-2 in these 4 games.
There's only one thing left to do:
win 15 out of 22 games.
Yep, direct quote.
Exactly. Moving on to a much more successful sport, it's really, I keep trying to, you know, Seth has been doing a good job of this, you know, trying to point out just how freaking good this team looks right now, the Mizzou softball team, without jinxing the crap out of them. But right now, they just finished up a couple games against, you know, whatever we're calling them, Missouri S&T. MUST, MOST, UMR, whatever you want to go with. The Lady Miners, which I wasn't even sure ladies went to that school. The Lady Miners were no match to Mizzou yesterday. They got outscored 16-2 in 2 games. Missouri finished the non-conference season 30-3. And they are at the same time, you know, the non-conference record is impressive, but the conference record is also impressive to the point that they are leading the Big 12 at the moment. They, I'm pulling up the standings here. They are currently 8-2 in conference, ahead of Oklahoma, who's 9-4, Texas, who's 8-4, and Baylor, who's 8-4. Those are the four teams that are really in the race for the conference title right now. And not only are they in good position in that regard, in that they're leading the conference right now, but they end this conference schedule with six straight home games. They it's really kind of unique right now. They have two road games left against the should be dropping to all Diamond Sports school in Texas Tech this weekend in Lubbock, and hopefully my smack talk doesn't backfire there. But if they can sweep those two, then they've got six home games left the rest of the way: two against Iowa State midweek, two next weekend against Oklahoma, and then two the weekend after that against Nebraska. They can win all eight of those games, and there's no way anybody can catch them if they do that. But really, if they go about 6-2, they're in very good position to win the Big 12 because they are two games ahead of everybody else in the loss column right now. So,
and it's so interesting just because every single player on that team is getting it done. If you look, I believe it's five Missouri players that have been honored by the Big 12 with weekly awards. Five separate players. It's not like Canyon at Baylor or anybody like that that just continues to repeat and repeat, and that's their sole hope. This team literally seems loaded.
Yeah, they're ranked near the top of the country in pitching and in hitting. Muttigers.com is letting me down at the moment. They don't actually have a link to 2009 statistics, but that's okay. They have three very strong pitchers in Stacy Delaney, who is a senior, in Kristen Nottleman, who's a freshman from Fenton, actually, and in, oh, I'm going crap. Jana Haney? No. See, this is why we need Seth. This is just embarrassing. regardless, three good pitchers, lots and lots of speed. Chelsea Thomas, that's the other pitcher. Duh.
Oh, yeah.
Rhea Taylor, if she gets on base, it's a home run because she's coming around to score. Like, she'll steal second. It's Willie Mays Hayes here. She'll steal second, and you know, get two bases on a sacrifice. Says me. But this team is very much loaded, like you said, balanced all the way around, and it's just it's really, really scary what they're doing to teams right now. So hopefully they can keep that up for three more weekends and bring home Missouri's first regular season Big 12 title. We've been doing good at the postseason titles this year with soccer and basketball, but the first regular season Big 12 title for a Missouri sports since softball did it about 12 years ago.
No pressure.
No pressure, yeah. Win or don't come home. So, yeah, the all sports, you know, basketball did well, football did well, wrestling, of course, has done well for a long time. All of these sports are doing well for Missouri right now, except women's basketball, basically. And it's a great time to be a Tiger, et cetera, et cetera. We are almost to the 30-minute mark, and this is impressive since we really haven't had anything specific to talk about this time around. We're just getting to – I'm instead of rambling for 10 seconds now, I'm doing it for like a minute and a half. The last thing on the docket for today, Ross, are you ready to give us a meme madness update?
The world-famous meme madness update? What do I have to do to earn that title?
World-famous? Basically do it for about 2 years. That's what Seth did the All Sports Report on Tiger Board. So, you know, that's the standard right now.
If this is running for 2 years, I might have to resign.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Today we have my entry in the Maymay Coast Conference, my absolute love for Pig Brown, which, if I can pull up results, I have abstained from voting, so I actually need to go click into results. True Flair, as expected, pulling ahead right now, sitting 61-38, which it has been bugging me that it adds up to 99%.
Yeah, it always does.
I'm not a math major, so don't care. Moving on, in the, I don't even, what region are we in right now? I'm so lost. Schlafly Regional.
The third.
Schlafly Regional. We have actually, I don't want to say an interesting matchup, but I am interested to see how Grey Goose comes out of the gate as the 2 seed against Professor Chaos. Chase Daniel is coming off a loss in the bracket earlier in the week, falling to Junkyard Dogs 65-35. And not only that, lost to Unholy Alliance in the Capital Regional with the Golden Watermelon Balls of Fury nickname. So Chase Daniel nicknames right now sitting 0 for 2 and is very likely sitting down an ugly 0 for 3 in the first round. What conference do we equate that to in the NCAA tournament?
Oh, that's ACC all the way around right there.
0 for 3 in the first round?
Yeah, pretty much everything but North Carolina. They pretty much tanked. It is funny, the 4 months ago I would not have expected, for instance, a basketball nickname like Junkyard Dog to be Chase McDanielson, but the basketball nicknames are acquitting themselves very, very well, not surprisingly, since it's, you know, because of everything that's happened in the last 4 months. But that's been at least a little bit of a surprise, I guess.
And it's so interesting to see the bias. We saw it in Mizzou 25 when we did that last year, how all of the more recent football players won their bracket and all of the older basketball players won theirs.
Yep.
So if nothing else, Rock'em Nation is quite transparent, and that we do appreciate. But then in our final regional, the Boulevard Regional, we have Bacon, who should very thoroughly wipe the floor with Laffy Saffy, which even that was a stretch to get in. Probably could have made a case for Jesus Tyrannosaurus.
That was my Dickie V rant moment right there. I love me some Jesus Tyrannosaurus.
And interesting, but altogether, I think it will be a blowout for 4 versus 5. It will be number 4 Party Starter, vroom vroom, by the way, against number 5 Uribe Simpsons references. I think that Simpsons might have its own little corner, but I think the RMN public as a whole will push Party Starter through pretty quickly. Would you agree with that?
I believe so, yeah. The basketball nicknames are doing well, and honestly, the so-and-so's blank nicknames, whichever conference that was, I'm blanking on it, but My Cat on Podcasts, Boom of Doom's Pudding, Your Love of Pig Brown, The Beast's Hatred of Ron Prince, none of these memes have actually won or even come close to winning so far. So yeah, I'm pretty sure we're looking
only,
at it.
Only one of them has, and that was the ultimate powerhouse coming out of that conference. You know what I'm talking about? That would be Zoo Dave's sister.
Oh, duh. I was zipping right over that one. Oh, that's... I apologize wholeheartedly to Zoo Dave's sister for that that brain fart right there.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like Conference USA. You expect Memphis to be up there and destroy some teams, and then everything else you kind of forget about.
Seriously, that's embarrassing.
That's how it happens. And then at the 3-6, going back to the Boulevard Regional preview, another basketball-football... seems like it could be more questionable. It's number 3, Kimmy, versus number 6, Handshakes. I think Kimmy wins that one going away.
Has there been a Photoshop of that one yet, by the way?
Of Kimmy?
Yeah, of Kimmy with, the South Park reference in there.
I have, if you go back through it, I have Kimmy's head on top of Timmy.
Okay, I was pretty sure I hadn't made that up, but yeah, we need to... That is increased
the post ready to go, so we will be treated with as much Kimmy as possible, and we can only expect he will be awaiting the winner of number 2 Brass Bonanza and number 7 GHTD's Love of Kendall Lawrence.
it was so great that just the convergence of factors that got Brass Bonanza on KFRU the other day. that was just one of the greater moments of my life, I have to admit. So I'm all for Brass Bonanza.
We were just waiting for the thread to explode whenever that happened. You know, not that we were sitting on Rock'em Nation as we were doing the radio show.
Oh, yeah, no, clearly not. Yeah, that was a nice convergence of different forms of media.
Madness preview for the first round, at least, at which point it goes back to the first regional. Asian Kid and Good Bad Leo will kick it off next week.
Every single one of these, when we did a couple different Mizzou 25 things last year, and now this one, the first round has just been boring as sin. I mean, it just really, there's no way. It's fun to fill out a 32 event bracket or a 32, team, whatever, entity, whatever we're calling this. It's fun, but it's pretty clear who's going to win the first round and move on to the second, so... We should start seeing some good matchups here, like the powerful Unholy Alliance versus Mr. Coffee, Good Bad Leo, Asian Kid, Nunchuck versus Junkyard Dog. Those things, it should be a lot more entertaining watching people get riled up for inside jokes.
Especially if we're going to get the true Flair Grey Goose matchup that we're all expecting. And not only that, a Kimmett-Brass Bonanza matchup. That's must-watch vlogging.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. I'll go with it.
All right.
So we are reaching the end of the 40 minutes, the fastest 40 minutes, if you can still call it that. yeah, it's been a lot of fun watching the hits kind of stay pretty high. It does seem like the community's building. I'm sure meme madness has had something to do with that. It's fun watching more and more people comment, more and more people post fan posts and fan shots, and we encourage you to keep it up. Did we decide what song we're gonna go out with here? I don't think we did.
I don't think we did. Maybe just roll with the surprise.
All right. Well, we'll see what I come up with, and I'm sure it'll be amazing. It'll be just life-altering. So thank you for listening to another one of those for the five people who do. I really wish we could count how many hits these things get, but we'll just assume everybody who reads Rockin' Nation listens to this thing twice at least, really.
For the sake of ad rates, we'll estimate around 25,000?
Sounds about right. That's at least, okay. You know, Adam Carolla's podcast gets like 750,000 a day or something like that. So surely, using that as the baseline, we get at least 25,000 for this.
All right, good.
All right, well, for Ross, I am Bill once again. Thank you for listening. It'll be an entertaining ride over the summer when we have nothing to talk about and we keep right on going with these. So
expect all kinds of guests.
And that's actually a very good point. They'll be more interesting over the summer when we have nothing to talk about and have to rely on guests. So until next time when we talk about the Black and Gold game, let's see what the surprise music is.
Take it back to the days of yes, y'all in. We're holding on to what's going on.